Please stand for the reading of God's Word from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So if you were here last week, you remember that statement formerly, and we see that re-emphasized. Paul is continuing, again, through the same thought, something that used to be, no longer is. Something has changed, and as I said earlier in the service during the baptism, this change is actually a change that takes place at the change of the covenants. So the old covenant was made with the Jewish people, and the new covenant is made with a much broader group of people. Thanks be to God for that, because most of us are not Jews in here. And so Paul is writing to a group of people like us that's mostly not Jews, but that have somehow become, well, Jewish. You get what I'm saying. Kind of like Jews. And that's a change that took place, and Paul is explaining it because there are many temptations that come, and at this time in particular, while Paul's writing, there was a lot of danger of teaching to believe that somehow you had to actually become a Jew in order to receive the blessings of the covenant. All right? So Paul is focusing in on this. He's trying to, as we've seen as we've gone through the first two chapters, we've seen over and over how Paul is trying to reiterate to us the importance of remembering what our faith is, what our faith is in, why and how we are saved. And he finally comes to the place where he's saying, you know, and it was not by the old covenant. It was by a new covenant. You formerly were something else, now you are something new, and formerly God worked in this way, but now he works in this way. There is a change that has taken place. There used to be a division between the Jews and the Gentiles. There isn't anymore. That division was there because the Jews were the people of God that he had chosen. And the Gentiles were not. Not chosen, not the people of God, not recipients of the covenant. That's changed. That's the thing that has changed, and that's very important for us. So separate from Christ is what we formerly were, right? Separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Why does that matter? Who cares? I never wanted to be a Jew anyway. Because they were God's people. They were chosen. They had the covenant. And so being excluded from that commonwealth mattered, right? We weren't in Christ. We weren't part of the commonwealth of Israel. We were, that's where he goes next, to the covenants, right? Strangers to the covenants of promise. So we didn't have the covenants, and we didn't know what the promise was that was included in the covenants. The Gentiles were outside, which meant they had, as we see continuing in verse 12, no hope. They were without God in the world. That's what we were formerly, because we were Gentiles, right? And it also applies to anybody who has become a Christian, that you formerly were of this world. Something has changed. You were without God, but now you have God. You were without the covenants of hope, but now you have them. You were outside of the commonwealth of Israel, but now you're part of it. Now that's the part where I say we become like Jews. We're actually part of that chosen people at this point. So Christ made a change, and the change is twofold. First, the change was bringing the outsiders in. The non-Jews being brought into the covenant. Us. Second, he made a change in us by making us at peace with him. So those are the two changes that had to take place. And they take place simultaneously. It's not like one happens and then the other. This change all is part of one bigger thing that's going on. But there's two very important parts to it, these two changes. So Christ made the change by bringing outsiders in. He brought us into his chosen group. And it says in verse 14 that he made peace by being our peace. He made peace by being our peace. Now that's a strange thing to say. And it requires us to understand what he means by making peace in the first place. When he says he makes peace, he's talking about, again, two things. One, he's talking about making peace between men, between the Jews and the Gentiles. That enmity that existed between Jews and Gentiles was real, but it was based on that spiritual reality of the enmity between God and man that has to be done away with. There has to be a way for peace to be made between God and man. And he had chosen a people, the Jews, his chosen people, right? And then that meant that there was enmity between those chosen people and everybody who was outside of the covenants. And the enmity is actually based on the law. We'll come back to that. But just recognize that the Jews hated the Gentiles. And that was a legit thing. Okay? Then God made peace. God made peace between those who had no part in his inheritance. He brought them and he adopted us into his family and made us one family. So that's peace. Now no longer is there enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles, but there's peace, right? But the reason there is peace is because the change that's really taken place is that God has made peace between himself and the Gentiles. That's the change that's taken place that makes us all part of one family, one body, right? So what a glorious peace has been made by Christ, making peace between us and God. He is the only way that we have the ability to come into God's presence, right? And you remember that when he died, when his work was finished, the veil in the temple, the curtain in the temple, was torn in two, representing that now there is an opening, there is a way into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, because Christ has made peace. That's an amazing, wonderful peace that he has made. But the side effect of that peace is that there's also peace this way, between us. So Bonhoeffer, in his little book, Life Together, makes this point. He's the first one I remember reading describing this reality, that if we want to have peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, it is Christ who has reconciled us to each other. Just as it is Christ who has reconciled us to the Father, it is Christ who has reconciled us to each other. And that's what we're seeing here. The enmity between Jews and Gentiles is gone because Christ became peace between us. He has done the work of making peace between man and man, just as he has done the work of making peace between God and man. So let's come back to that enmity between man and man, the Jew and the Gentile. It describes what that enmity is in our passage. In verse 15, it says that Jesus abolished the enmity in his flesh. And what is that enmity? It says it is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That's the enmity. Now, the author of Hebrews and Paul are really on the same wavelength here. Maybe the author of Hebrews was Paul. We don't know. But they're really on the same wavelength here in pointing out, in a way that can feel difficult to us, how bad the Old Covenant was. How can you say that the Old Covenant was bad? God is the one who instituted it. How can you say that it was insufficient? God is the one who gave it to us. And yet, what is it described as here? Enmity. Enmity. Let's think about between men first. The enmity between us, the Gentiles, and Jews was real, and it was embodied in the law. So the law was the enmity, because the law separated the people of God from everybody else. The law separated the people of God from everybody else. Circumcision is the stand-in for the whole law and for all of the separation that it created. Metaphorically, it was a separation. Physically, it was a separation. Being cut off and removed. You're no longer part of the world. You are holy, set apart to God, and you are to be different. Now, there's no other cultural separation as strong as this one was, And God intended for it to be that way. That was the mark of the law. The mark of the law was different, other, set apart, different rules, different lifestyles, different ways of living. It was all different. And if you ever have read the Old Testament and all of the rules that it included, you go through Exodus and Leviticus, right? And you actually think about what it would look like to live that way, nobody would normally live that way, right? Going out of the camp, being ceremonially unclean, and the purification rites, and all the things that you had to do, it ran your life. It was a constant. Every single thing you did, you had to think, is this going to make me unclean? What are the consequences of that for tomorrow? When is the... It's always under consideration. The law, the law, the law. How am I to handle this? Can I eat this? Can I not eat this? Can I touch this? Can I not touch this? You can't live a normal day without running into these questions of the law over and over and over. And if you read the Old Testament, you know I'm not exaggerating, right? And it doesn't matter that the Pharisees then took it to another level. The reason the Pharisees took it to another level is because they were like, hey, you know, there's some things that are hard to figure out exactly what it should look like, so we're just going to make it safe. We're going to play it safe in here. We're going to make some extra fences, put up some extra barriers, and make sure that we're really keeping the law. This was the basis of the enmity. Okay? The enmity between Jews and Gentiles, those who were in and those who were out, those who were under the law and those who were without law. They had not received the law. The law was given to the Jews, right? What an amazing gift it was, and yet look at that separation that it creates. And so the Jews don't eat with the Gentiles. The Jews have nothing to do with the Gentiles because the Gentiles were strangers and aliens. And the only way for them to no longer be strangers and aliens was for them to receive the law, to go through the law. So they had to receive Moses, is what they would have said, right? They had to receive Moses. They had to become circumcised. They had to become followers of the law. So proselytes, you'll see the word proselyte in the New Testament. Okay, proselytes were people who were doing the work of becoming Jews. There was actually a way in, as we see with Ruth, right? Praise God. There actually was a way in, but it wasn't just an easy process. You had to receive the whole law. You had to become a Jew. Because that's what the mark of a Jew was, those who had the law. Now all that changes in Christ Jesus. That's the miracle. Now, we are no longer strangers and aliens, even though we do not have all of that Old Testament ceremonial law, all of that sacrificial system. We don't have any of that, but we're still in. Now, that's wonderful. Because I know you don't want to live that way thing anymore. We are one family, the Jews and the Gentiles, under Christ, are one. But only if the Jews and us are both under Christ. So there is still a separation between the people of God and the world, right? It's just that the gates have been thrown open for who can be the people of God. It allows it for it to be us. And so now we're no longer outsiders, but we have been brought into that covenant, into the new covenant. The new covenant in his blood. Not the covenant of sacrifices, of the blood of rams and bulls and lambs and birds. A lot of sacrifices, right? No. The covenant of one sacrifice. The blood of Christ Jesus. So no longer are there two groups. Christ made peace between the two groups by making peace between both of those groups and God. That's how that peace, that horizontal peace between us, why that enmity goes away is because God, because in Christ Jesus, he took care of the enmity between us and God. Jesus made peace with the Jews and himself, and with us, those who were far away, and himself, the same way. The very same way. He didn't make peace with the Jews by choosing them and giving them the sacrificial system and the law. He made peace with them and God by dying on the cross. And he made peace between us and God the exact same way. Now, this is important, practically speaking, for us to remember because, again, still today, there are people who view the Jews as somehow different or saved some other way. In fact, the huge difference between the Jews and the Gentiles is still viewed as a huge difference by large numbers of American Christians. And if you don't understand that, you'll miss a lot of what people find important. It'll just kind of like not make sense to you. I was talking to somebody not too long ago who was explaining to me that pretty soon they may be able to sacrifice a red heifer in Jerusalem. Okay, and I knew what he was talking about, but it's hard to fathom. What does that have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with the law, you guys. He's concerned about the law. We don't need any more sacrifices in Jerusalem. The sacrifice in Jerusalem has happened. Even for the Jews, we need no more, because they are reconciled to God. He became peace. He made peace by being our peace. So there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles, because they're both reconciled to God the same way, and therefore, they're just the same. We are all the same in Christ. Now, there is still temptation for us not to feel that way, not just through some strange theological sense like that, but through anti-Semitism, right? Big topic of conversation today, that you can be an anti-Semite and viewing Jews as somehow inferior, as though this peace has not been made, right? That's not the only place where there's a great temptation for us to be at enmity with other people, though, right? There's all kinds of racial divides, socioeconomic divides, working class, blue collar versus white collar. Anyone, anywhere that is a brother in Christ to you is the same as you and is at peace with you. You're no longer at enmity with one another. You don't look as the member of a church who's part of the union at a boss who's your brother in Christ and call him the man. Right? Because the enmity has been done away. You are one in Christ. And you don't look at somebody who has different color skin or who likes a different kind of music or all of the different things and be like, well, they're clearly inferior. No, Christ has made peace between man because he's made peace between God and man. The gospel now applies to all kinds of people. And so the way that the Jews viewed the Gentiles, because the Gentiles were out, we're still inclined to treat people that way. They're part of out groups, right? But out groups based on what? We're judging it on the basis of all sorts of things that have nothing to do. Well, they're in the country illegally, or they're an out group. Are they? What makes somebody in or out in this conversation? What Paul is intent on us seeing is that all of those barriers that are earthly can't stand up to the steamroller of Christ and his grace and the peace that he has made. They're all shoved to the side. They're all squished down. There's no longer distinctions. If there's no longer two groups, then there's certainly no longer 40 groups. Right? If you feel separate and different from other Christians, you aren't seeing the full picture yet. Now, I'm not trying to deny the fact that there are still earthly families and still earthly nations and still people who are black and people who are white. And no. What I'm trying to say is they don't matter in Christ. The family that we have been made a part of trumps all of that. The law has been eliminated. The law is that enmity. The law is those distinctions that through fleshly things divided people. Now, there is division still between the world and the people of God, right? But the gospel is for the whole world. There's nobody that you cannot claim can be saved. There's nobody that you cannot call to repentance. There's nobody that the gospel is withheld from. It's not like it was taken from the Jews and given to the Gentiles. It's not like it was given to the white upper middle class, and nobody else gets it. It's given to the world. And so all of those barriers are gone. The angels understood this when they proclaimed it to the shepherds, the nobodies. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's good news. So what does this one group that we've been made into, Christians, what are we? Fellow citizens with all the other people of God. No longer strangers and aliens, right? But now citizens of his heavenly kingdom. With everybody else. And who is everybody else? Well, the saints who have gone before us, we know, right? But Paul is driving his point home when he says the saints, the apostles, the prophets, right? It's the Jews and those that they looked up to, and the Gentiles and those they looked up to. It's the old, the people who are long gone, and us today, all saved the same way, united in one body, one church. Those who are far off and those who are near, those who are dead and those who are alive still, all part of the same group. So the law, as that enmity that existed, right? The law has been retroactively eliminated as well. Because we're not separated even from the prophets who are long gone before Jesus arrived. We're actually one with them too. We're one with Moses. And this is why we speak of the church extending way back into the Old Testament. The law has been retroactively eliminated. The church existed way back then, but it wasn't instituted until Christ came. And so the work of Jesus Christ, get this, obviously had an impact going forward, but it had an impact that rolled backwards too. That wave, the rock dropped, and the wave went all directions. And the enmity was wiped out everywhere, forward and back. What a beautiful thing. So there's no divider between us and Christ. There's no divider between us and the Jews. There's no divider between us and the Jews who lived before Christ. We are one in Christ with the prophets, all the saints of old, and all the saints today. We are one in Christ, and He is the cornerstone of what we are together, which is the temple of God that we are being built up into. He's the cornerstone, and we together with Him are the whole temple where God dwells. Now, does God dwell in Christ Jesus? Well, Jesus is God, right? All you kids know that. So can we have confidence that the temple's going to be the right design? When Jesus said, tear down this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it, and He was not talking about the earthly temple with the stones, right? He was talking about killing Him and that He would raise up from the dead in 3 days. He was actually talking about the temple. He is the fullness of God. And we're being built onto Him. He's the cornerstone. The apostles are the foundation. And we're all being built on top of that, where God dwells. So, what that means is that when God made peace and brought us all together, He had a purpose, and it was to build something. The pieces all fit together perfectly. We're all stones. He goes into this metaphor more elsewhere. But if God is dwelling among us, because that's what we're being built into, that temple, right? We're perfectly at peace with God and with one another. God, in fact, is able to dwell in us. That's how perfectly we are working together. We're one temple. And if God is dwelling among us, all the saints as a whole, then we must not be at enmity with one another as Christians. Not just we must not be in a sense of we cannot be because we're perfectly at peace because God has made peace, right? But you may not be. You cannot try to push the stone off of you and say, no, I don't want to pull. And so we are to be at peace with one another. And if God is dwelling among us, we must be holy, because that is to be at peace with God. If Christ has become peace for us, what are we to be? Holy. If God is dwelling among us, if we're being built together into a dwelling of God, then let us rejoice that that peace is possible in the first place.